It's the PB&J Show with your host Patrick Butler and Jesse Hutmaker.
Hello and welcome to the show. We are glad to be back in action. I am the PB, Patrick Butler, and of course, you heard it on the intro. The J is Jesse Hutmaker, all the way from New Orleans. Jesse, we are into June, and we are rolling. And how are you,
Pat? I'm doing great. Thanks. In the midst of supposedly a tropical storm, they had us all paranoid that we were going to get all this rain. Basically, we're just waiting to see. It's been raining, but not like they predicted. It was kind of a welcome relief because, good Lord, it was hot as hell earlier this week. It was miserable. But with the rain brings the humidity, and it was, when we went off to walk the dogs tonight, it was just miserable. But other than that, given all the circumstances, everything's well. How are things back there in Omaha?
Hot as hell. We have never, interesting fact, we have never started off June with this many days above, 92? As far as they've been recording temperatures, we've never recorded this many in a row to begin the month. So it's hot. It's just humid. It's just, this is no good, man. It just sucks. It's soup. Soup.
Yeah. Well, I look on the positive side of things. I checked the weather for my arrival, and I think the high isn't supposed to get above 85 until I leave, and the low is going to be in the 50s and the 60s. I'm actually going to bring a coat because that might be a little chilly for me at night.
Be careful. Watch out. Jesse is speaking of his trip back to Omaha, so we are anxiously awaiting that. I'm gonna take a trip in between, and I can't wait to see you this weekend, man. So looking forward to that, and we will try to record maybe sneak in a live show when you're here. Maybe we can coerce ourselves into that, man, and get a live one, because that'd be show number 50, and we gotta celebrate. Yeah. Big
a milestone show coming up. You know, I'm as sad as it seems, I'm actually looking forward to hopefully having a rather empty plane to fly up there, but I don't know. I mean, I'm fearing that it's going to be a full flight, but the last one I had to fly back here was very nice because it was nice and empty. So I'm hoping for an empty flight.
Well, I can tell you from the past couple trips I've taken, it started out very empty, and it's been slowly trickling in. So I'm hoping for you that it's not, and you'll have good travels here. But that being said, man, we've got to jump into things, and I don't know. We would be remiss if we tried to talk about anything other than the subject at hand, where we're at, where we've been. The last time Jesse and I spoke, my friend, we were beginning quarantine. We were beginning the lockdown because of the coronavirus and how that started to affect our country. Well, while that was going on and continues to go on, our country has definitely shifted, and the topic has shifted from that, even though that's still going on. And we've definitely got a major topic at hand, of course, and it has to do with the movement that is occurring, that we've seen occur. And that all kicked off really primarily as a reaction to the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis at the hands of a police officer. And that we have seen now, and we have lived now through several different protests, riots, nonstop barrage of conversation. It just continues to grow. It continues to shift. And it is the topic of the moment, and that's where Jesse and I are kind of kicking things off. And so I don't know where you're at. Maybe we can start with where you're at. I mean, this is a big one to cover, but maybe we can approach things from where you're seeing things and experiencing things from New Orleans' point of view.
Oh wait, I thought we were talking about the possibility of college football coming back. Wasn't that our topic? On a serious note, yeah, it's really weird. You know, you and I are roughly the same age, and I don't think we really saw a direct thing in our lives until the Rodney King situation. You know, I'm sure stuff existed, but as you and I know, growing up, we had three major channels, and they weren't 24 hours. I believe they went off the air at like 1 o'clock, 12:30, and they came back on at 6 a.m. So there wasn't round the clock. There wasn't this massive influx of having to be the first or getting you the first or having a lead on the story, something completely different. So the news cycle didn't really start getting changed when cable came around, but still then it was fairly limited. But it wasn't really until the late 90s did it become more of a everything's under a microscope and everything that happens. And, you know, the Rodney King kind of put something in the front of our minds as white Americans that, you know, these things exist and something needs to be done about it. And personally, you know, I thought about it and I'm like, all right. And then the next incident, I'm like, well, shit, we didn't learn from Rodney King, you know, and through it all, it keeps getting worse. Here in New Orleans, they've been protesting almost every night. I think they had one last night, but the weather may have shortened it, or it may have moved the time up. I know they had something in City Park. I don't remember anything downtown, but that's possible. And I've had several conversations with police officers lately because we get a lot of them in, and with the current status of our country with the quarantine and everything, a lot more activity with bikes, as we talked about last time. But I've been talking to a lot of police officers and just trying to get an understanding of, you know, our city is kind of a crazy city, as you know. And why haven't we had any issues of violence, anything like that? And the common thing that we all agreed on is large gatherings are nothing new in our city. Generally, in normal times, there is a large gathering every weekend, you know, just about every weekend. I would say probably 40 to 45 weekends a year, there is a gathering of at least 25, 30,000 people, you know, a festival, something. There's always large gatherings. And so they're used to it. And the people here, you know, we also talked about, there's such pride in this city, even though if you may have a disagreement with the police and you may not like how something is handled, you may have had a bad interaction with the police, we hold our buildings, our French Quarter, we hold those things dear to us. We may hate so many things. We may not like the police, may not like how they respond to things, but we all are unified under protecting the beauty of our city and those buildings. And so the officers tend to think that's probably something too, is there's such a strong love affair with the citizens and the city that they're not going to let that happen. So, I mean, that's what kind of the thing that we walked away with from our discussions.
No, and that's great. It makes a ton of sense, especially given the makeup of your city and what your city and, you know, just the makeup of the people down there and what, you know, there's a lovely blend down there, I think, of people and the way you approach gatherings, celebrations. Obviously, we know that that city loves to party, but there's a lot of great sentiment behind the celebrations that are held there. And I really have a ton of respect for that and admiration for what New Orleans has been able to do. I don't always like that it's kind of thrown off like, oh yeah, it's just a big party. There's a lot of great meaning behind the celebrations and parades down there. And what it's done for the people, and the pride that they have. And I think that's amazing. And I think it's reflective of some of the peace that you've seen. In other words, you haven't seen some of the dramatic violence that other cities have. And I think that speaks well of what has, to your point, how you've handled large gatherings and also how the people treat each other in general. And I think that's pretty amazing, man. I really think that's amazing.
Yeah, you know, I remember, I believe it was 2 years ago, there was a black man, unarmed black man that was killed at a gas station for selling bootleg DVDs out of his trunk. And they rallied here. And, you know, I thought for sure if shit was going to go down, it was going to go down from that. But it didn't. Again, there's large gatherings. I think the most violent rallies we've had was after the Rams Saints game. During that, after that, I think that was the worst of the any violence that I remember hearing after large gatherings. Is that, you know, Mardi Gras is always very, very controlled. The things that have happened on it are off the route, and they're never, it's always, you know, somebody knows somebody. It's always, you know, always that stuff. And there's only been a few cases of that. But yeah, I think, you know, like the funerals, like those are more of a celebration than a mourning. You know, it's just a way down here. The people, if you live in this climate all year round and deal with the weather and deal with the constant threat of hurricanes, you know, you want to have that escape and celebrate everything you have, celebrate every opportunity that you get here. And, you know, I think we live that and play that to the fullest down here. But it was very discouraging what happened in my hometown last week. That's still playing on me, and I had the misfortune of watching the live stream of that when it happened, and I was in disbelief. You know, two cities that I lived in, one that I still call my hometown, you know, seeing what happened there just breaks my heart.
Yeah, as we flip the script and talk about we're Omaha here, it was a tragic event. Unfortunately, a life was lost. And we've had to go through watching the individual who pulled the trigger not have charges pressed, but now we're looking at a potential grand jury. So that's going to push things along. And I don't want to necessarily get bogged on that. What I want to do is flip it over because, yeah, we've seen protests here too. Unfortunately, that was obviously a major standout and has caused the city to stand up and go, whoa, wait a minute. There was a major walk today from one of the main thoroughfares down to one of the huge parks here, which was great to see. It was peaceful, large event, shut down one of the main streets to allow people to pass through, which was great. So it continues to build. And I guess if anything, Jesse, I know kind of flipping it over to speaking about you and I personally and how it may have, this whole situation has affected us. I know it's affected me personally in a big way. It's made me kind of just stop and really think about where I'm at. And what I can say to you is I can stop for a minute and go, wait a minute, you know, listen, I want to step back and go, wait a minute. I'm not a racist individual. I've always tried to be supportive of everybody around me. But what I've stopped and asked myself is, okay, you're a white man in America. And right now the word privilege is thrown around a lot with good reason. And I heard a really good talk the other day, and I thought it was really fantastic because what it did is it challenged people to say, listen, if you lived a privileged life, if you are living a privileged life, that's okay to reconcile with that and understand that, yes, you are. But what are you going to do with it? Can you do something to help others? Can you use your privilege to help others right now and moving forward? And I've really challenged myself to think about that and look at that and look at opportunities that I may have to help others. And I'm really glad I heard that. I'm glad I've been thinking about it, but now I'm trying to figure out how I put that into action, because I've always tried to be supportive of others, but how can I take it a step further and do even more if possible, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it totally does. You've seen so many things. If we want to get into a specific thing, you know, the Black Lives Matter all lives matter. Well, yes, they do. But it's the best one I've seen. And there's ones that break down all the different things. But it's, the person standing out in front of their house and their house is on fire. And the person's like, my house is on fire. And, and he says, my house matters. And the person next to him says, well, all houses matter, so basically it's if we're focusing on every single house, we're ignoring the fact that your house is burning down, and that may not be exactly how it was, but that was the gist of it, of, here's somebody concerned that their house is burning down, and he says, my house matters, and the person outside, watching the house burn down, is watering his house down, saying, all houses matter, instead of saying, hey, why don't I help you put out your fire, and it's not that when you say Black Lives Matter that you're discounting everybody else's life. But with everything that you see on TV, from the news, you're seeing a completely different aspect of, it's another one, piggyback with the incident in Georgia by the two former or one former police officer, and you see those things. And yes, I know people are going to throw the statistic out there that more white people are killed by police officers than black people. But I think the last time I checked that the white man far outnumbers the black man. And also you got to factor in the fact that you take that number of African Americans and then take the prison population, and that number gets even less and less. And the fact that the percentage goes up and up. And, I can't tell you what you and I can do is going to make a difference. I think more about what you and I do is going to let our brothers and sisters know that skin's not the same color as ours, that we care, And I think really if you boil it all down is, I know from having extensive conversations with Gene about this subject, or, basically talking about race, is it's more about the loving and caring and compassion for your fellow human, than it is say, hey, well, here's $5, go buy yourself a beer. It's more about showing them that you actually care, and showing them and telling them, because that's more of what is really truly needed. Because if you look at an overview, they don't get that from society.
No, absolutely. And I agree with that. I mean, when I look at things and I say, wait a minute, what can I do? I agree. I may be limited in my capabilities of offering resources or specific job opportunities. That's something that I can't necessarily provide personally. But to your point, let's break it down to a human level and let's extend some support and be vocal about it and let people know that you care. And I've tried to take a minute just on my behalf, just within my inner circle, to go, wait a minute, can I reach out to my friends? And I'm talking friends that know I love and care for them, but maybe I haven't really just stopped and said, wait a minute, I know this is a trying time right now, and this is affecting you on a level that I would have never imagined. What can I do for you? Can I be here for you? And let me tell you, I'm going to be here for you moving forward too. And I think that's it. And I still think there's an opportunity, though. I'm hoping, Jesse, I'm hoping that this creates a groundswell, a movement that truly sustains itself. I'm tired of seeing a flash in the pan moment where we shine a light and then the next topic comes up and steals the thunder, and suddenly this is passed on by, and that system never gets fixed. That wave of caring never follows through to the fullest extent. And I'm really hopeful that we can sustain something as a society, as people, so we can do that. And I know that may be optimistic, and but damn it, I think we need to.
Well, I think we also have the perfect storm of, you know, we still have a large unemployed population due to the quarantine. So there's still a lot of people without work, or a lot of people that are working from home. So, but these protests, you know, in my lifetime, I can't remember something lasting more than a week, you know, and it's going on nationwide, worldwide. And if you look at the people, you're seeing people that look like you and me, and you're actually not as old as us. They're far, you know. You're seeing a lot of younger white males and females, and they're on the front lines. And that gives me hope. You know, I constantly worry, have been worrying the last few weeks, is are we at the tipping point? Is this shit gonna get worse, you know, before it gets better? And then we have situations where we have peaceful protests outside our nation's capital, the symbol of freedom, the symbol of, you know, all that the Constitution stands for, and there's tear gas fired during the peaceful protest, so the leader of the free world can walk across the street to a church that he never attends, he's only been to one time since his inauguration, and hold up a Bible and say a bunch of gibberish, and then, you know, walk back in. He upended the lives of the people working at the church, who are actually handing out water to the people protesting and offering them a safe haven if they needed it. You know, that sent me over the edge as far as what the hell is going on in our country. You know, I do find it kind of funny that we have successfully built a wall. We just built it in DC, you know, to keep the protesters away, I guess, keep the citizens. But that set me in a point where, you know, I was feeling awful about what was happening. And then, you know, the people that we look to for guidance and for security and safety and to, you know, sympathize along with us are doing that to our own people. You know, just that's shit that we see in other countries. And, you know, for me, that was like, shit's got to change quick, you know? And I don't know, I'm sorry to go on that rant, but that just really set me off.
Well, it was a pretty disgusting display. I don't care who you are, that was a disgusting display. I think the timing of all this, to your point, as far as how far this stretches on, I'm curious, because you're right, we haven't seen protests that have lasted very long. But it's interesting when you kind of reflect back through history, a lot of protesting does extend and last for a long time before change occurs. I'm curious, though, with this large groupings of people across the country and around the world, if this is not going to force the hand a little bit. And I think the timing, I have to be honest, I think the timing is getting interesting with only, what, about 5 months before that election. This is going to stay pretty fresh. And the longer this goes on, I think our country is pushing for change. And I think it's just leading to that big old showdown.
Yeah, I saw the other day, I think it was Friday, the number of registered voters, or people that registered to vote, has dramatically increased after the Minneapolis incidents. You know, that gives that does make me feel a lot better about things. That maybe now that people are finally getting concerned beyond what's going on in their four walls. You know, I think we are at an interesting position in our world, in our country right now with you know, this fear of a pandemic that hasn't went away. It's getting stronger. I do worry about the people that were out protesting that's going to spike in cities that have been in a decline. I believe it's already spiked in a few of the places. But you know, we got a very captive and hungry audience right now. And it's time that if you're really concerned about our country and its future, I think it's time to get involved, you know?
Absolutely. I've definitely seen that some articles about the rise in voter registration, and I hope that continues to bear fruit. I don't care who you are. Just get out and vote, man. We need to have a better voter turnout versus 30 and 35% as a country. So I hope that continues to grow. I don't know, man. We could talk for hours and hours on this one because it's such a broad and huge subject that affects so many people, and it's such a sensitive subject. But I'm glad we could at least broach it right here, at least kind of dip our toe in the water a little bit. Typically, Jesse and I talk for about 30, 35 minutes, and we're reaching in on that right now. And so we're going to try to safely transition into our punch list and save some of this and hopefully talk about it again in the near future. But as we get into the punch list, it's the things that are relevant with us as far as watching, reading, listening to, and of course, drinking. It's been a while since we've done a punch list, my friend. So where are you at with your punch list?
Well, where do you want to start? We'll start with reading. I admit I did order a book to read for my flight back to Omaha, but I can't remember if I've read the book already or not. But I've been reading a lot of news, you know, online stuff. I've been reading a lot of open op-eds, trying to get a feel of both sides, you know. I tend not to put a lot I do read from papers that are of a different political mindset than I, just to see kind of where they're thinking. And I will say I've been fairly impressed the last 2 weeks with a lot of what I'm reading. A lot of it, you know, I'm like, what the fuck? But a lot of it has given me hope for things. And you know, I have a few books that I've been meaning to read that I need to read that kind of cover this a little bit of what we were talking about. But I need something light right now, light and refreshing. So what have you been reading?
I've been reading a couple of things. One's fiction. It's been out for quite a while, and I think there's a movie or two made of it, but I never watched it and never read it, and I finally got into it. And the first one's The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Been kind of getting into that and just getting going on it, and it's been fun to get into it right now, even though it's been out for a while. And the other one I really have been enjoying quite a bit is a book by Maggie Smith. It's called Good Bones. And it is actually a poetry book. She writes poetry. And there's a piece that she has written that is just, it's also called Good Bones. That's where she took the title for the book. But that piece right there means a lot to me because as a parent, and if you get a chance, Good Bones is passed around a lot as far as just a poetry piece, but the collective book is quite good. And so I've been really enjoying her poetry right now. So it just takes a minute and it's kind of interesting to read poetry because, man, if there's some thought that's put into words, a poet is on it. And so Maggie Smith's a good one. I like her a lot.
Now,
so
did you say you'd seen the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo movies or no?
No, I have not. I avoided them because I wanted to read the book and I just never got around to it.
Yeah. So I will say it's funny because we were just discussing this the other day. Movies that the foreign, when they release a U.S. version of it, was actually as good or close to as good as the original. But yeah, that whole series of books, those are great reading. I really enjoyed those. I love the movies too. So I hope you enjoy the movies. I would watch the foreign one first and then the American personally. But
right on. Well, what are you watching?
I'm late to the ball game on this one. Jack Ryan. I started watching that series. I still struggle. He's still Jim from The Office to me. And whenever he's talking, I'm like, you know, I'll make little funny, you know, comments about need more paper or staplers. But really getting into that, really, there's a few other shows, but I thought I'd mention that one because that one increasingly gets better. And what's his name from New Orleans, from The Wire? Oh, crap. Can't think of his name. But I always, whenever he's talking, I'll say something about things about Baltimore. And then, you know, I'll mix in New Orleans stuff because he was on The Wire. But anyway, I've been watching Jack Ryan. What have you been watching?
No, they're both great in that. I love that series. I finally finished up Ozark. I waited and I needed to catch up on season 3 and I finally binged it out a week ago. And man, that thing just continues. First of all, Jason Bateman, are you kidding? That guy is just fantastic. But that ended up with a a hell of a little finish before the next season.
Yeah.
But Ozark's a doozy, that's for sure.
I thought Laura Linney was outstanding. I thought this season was more about her. Wendell Pierce, that's his name. Wendell Pierce.
There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, the third season of Ozark, that's a good watch too. Yeah.
Well, all right. Now, what have you been listening to?
Well, I'm going to go with a old and a new. With all that's been going on, our boys, Public Enemy, you know, so much trouble on my mind. I went back through and listened to the first three in heavy rotation for a few days. And then I was like, oh my God, I can't go to one of these rallies because I'm just going to lose it. And I've been listening to them and new stuff, Ringo Death Star. I've really been getting into that along with the new Jason Isbell, but I figured that you might mention that one. So, but Ringo Death Star and Public Enemy, a nice 1-2 combo there for you.
Nice. Well, to play off of PE and their stance, this week I got real excited because the new Run the Jewels dropped their fourth record. They actually dropped it early and let everybody stream it out before the Friday release date. And that record definitely follows on the heels of where PE has kind of had the torch burning for quite a while. And it's very relevant. I mean, it's actually frightening how relevant it is. I mean, I read an interview with Killer Mike and LP, and they, you know, they started the record in 2019 and carried it over into early this year. But some of the lines that were written after what's going on right now, you're just like, whoa. And it's sad because what they're doing is recognizing the fact that this has been going on for a while. And that record is just slamming. So Run the Jewels, definitely. And I got a triple threat here. I got a triple. Yes, Jason Isbell was on there, but I've actually been excited because I've been listening to the brand new Rolling Blackouts, Coastal Fever. Love those Aussies. And that band, Jesse, I absolutely could play them over and over again. And then finally, I'm going to add a newcomer, Jamie Wyatt, kind of on the Americana singer-songwriter slash country. I really like her new record. What's it called? The Neon Cross. I've been playing all three of those in heavy rotation, and then I'll fall back to Jason Isbell. So I've been really excited about a lot of new music, man.
Yeah, I was excited for the Rolling Blackouts, but that it doesn't come out on vinyl until July, and so I'm still not into that streaming stuff. So I'll just have to wait for that. And the Jamie Wyatt, that's on my list of stuff to buy when I'm in Omaha. But you know, speaking of the Run the Jewels, but if you go back and you listen to Public Enemy, and they're talking about a lot of stuff that we didn't, you know, because again, media wasn't like that. But so many things in those songs, you go back and listen to what Chuck is saying, and it is still relevant. You know, it's still relevant, and it still means so much. And I know you watched Do the Right Thing a few weeks ago in the theater down the street from us. They reopened, and that's part of their reopening. And I think we're going to try to see it if it's still showing when I come back, because I want to see that in the theater again. It's sometimes those things are just so powerful, you know. The Run the Jewels, we were listening to that yesterday at work, and yeah, it's pretty relevant, pretty like, holy shit, what Killer Mike know? Did he know this shit was gonna happen, you know? But shit's been happening, so let's get to the last and probably most important thing. What have you been drinking?
Oh man. I've been back on a Boulevard Kick, one of my favorite breweries from just down the road in Kansas City. Summertime always brings out the Boulevard Wheat, hazy little sippin' dream that I absolutely love. So pop a lemon in that one, and I've been drinking Boulevard Wheat. And then to follow that up, tonight, several nights, I'll follow that up with a little bit of Jameson and Seven. That 7 and 7 number is always a goodie for me. So those two are my drinks of choice as of late. How about you?
Well, I took the month of May off from drinking. Last night we went out to dinner and I had my first drink. I went back to the old standby, except I eliminated the tonic. I just went vodka soda, had Tito's and some soda. It was good. I could have drank 10 of them. But yeah, I got back on that. It was good to take that month off, especially with everything, with the quarantine and not being able to go anywhere. I felt the best thing to do was to not drink and see if I could survive the quarantine and not drinking. So yeah, but back on the vodka.
Well, welcome back.
Well, it's gonna be a beer. It's gonna be a beer heavy week. So you know, I had to get the vodka back in there to oil me up, so to speak.
Right. Well, we're looking forward to having you back here in Omaha. We're going to, again, I'm going to try to push to record live and get our big milestone 50th episode in the books and on the airwaves for everybody. Listen, thanks for talking tonight, Jesse. And I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. We appreciate everybody who takes the time to listen to what we've got to say. And we definitely would love to hear back from you. And we do. And we appreciate that. But we're just thankful for everybody who listens to our show. We're excited to get to episode 49 and to welcome episode 50 next week. But everybody, thanks for listening. And please, out there, stay safe, everybody. Do your homework. Do some research. Think about each other. Care for each other. Love each other. And stay safe. Jesse, man, appreciate you. And I can't wait to see you this week.
Yep. Power to the people, y'all.
Take care, everybody. We'll be right back.